Like many teenagers, when I was in high school, I had a strict curfew. I had to be home by midnight or my mom would let me know. And like many teenagers, I complained about this curfew. I repeatedly asked my parents, "Would you just loosen up? Just let me stay out a little bit longer." And like many mothers, my mom would always respond to my request by saying, "Nothing good happens after midnight." So that was it, case closed. In those years, my mom was rightly concerned about her teenage son making a bad decision or being struck by a drunk driver or something else bad happening to me. And now as an adult, I might be too mature and, if we're honest, too boring to make bad decisions. And so my mom no longer needs to worry about that. But I have certainly come to agree with her that nothing good happens after midnight. The middle of the night is often a time of trouble, of worry, and of grief. The middle of the night is when the child wakes up with a high fever and needs to be taken to the ER. The middle of the night is when the phone rings or there's a knock at the door, and it's never a good thing. Something has happened to someone you love. You don't lay awake at night thinking about how content you are and how your life is going so well. You lay awake rehashing past hurts and disappointments. You lay awake reliving your failures and your embarrassments. You lay awake aching with loneliness because of loss. You lay awake worrying about an uncertain future and your ability to even handle it. And God, in his word, agrees with my mother's sentiment that nothing good happens after midnight. In various places throughout Scripture, humanity is described as being in darkness. Because we have sinned and rebelled against God, because we have rejected God's authority and chosen to go our own way, we live under the black cloud of judgment and death. This is how Isaiah describes the plight of humanity in Isaiah 9, verse 2. He says, the people who walked in darkness, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. Our fear of the dark, the bad news that we receive, our dark night of the soul, the tossings and turnings of our sleepless nights when we grieve the wrongs that we have done or the wrongs that have been done to us, and our anxiety over what tomorrow will bring are all fundamentally because we are sinful people living in a broken world. We walk in darkness and dwell in a land of deep darkness. So often, the darkness of night is a physical reminder that all is not well. It's in the middle of the night that it becomes hard for us to pretend that we have it all together, that everything is okay, that we don't need anything. But God does not leave us in darkness forever. Isaiah 9, verse 2. Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." And Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." So what does Isaiah see that could bring a joyful morning after a night of tears? What does God reveal to Isaiah that he will do? What does God tell Isaiah? "I'm going to do something." And what is that thing that will bring about the softening of the sky in the east? The first ray of sun that tells us for certain that day will return. What is it that brings us out of darkness into light? Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born. To us, a son is given. A birth, a baby will be born, Isaiah says. A son will be given, and this child will be our faithful, powerful king, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah knows that we live under the shadow of sin and death. But he sees that someone is coming who is going to deliver us out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And so consider the experience of the shepherds in Luke 2, on the night that Jesus was born. These shepherds are the first witnesses of the birth of Jesus, apart from Mary and Joseph, of course. Luke 2, verse 8, which Anna read for us, in the same region. So in verse 7, Mary gives birth to this son. Verse 8, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. It's night. It's dark. And these men are on guard. Nothing good happens to sheep at midnight. Midnight, night, is when the thieves come to steal. Predators come to kill. Or sheep wander off and are lost. And so the shepherds are awake at night, keeping watch over their sheep. And into this darkness, suddenly the floodlights go on. An angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shines around them. And what? They were filled with great fear. It's the middle of the night. Something's happening. This can't be good. But this nighttime event is not danger. It's not trouble. It is dawn coming. It is daylight signaling the end of darkness. Look at the angel's message in verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." And what the shepherds do next is what you or I would do when daylight comes, when there's a beautiful sunrise after a long night. What do? We go see. We want to see more. You see that little glimpse of dawn after the long night, and you just stare at the horizon. Show me more. Let me see more light. So the shepherds go, look. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They go, "Let's see this thing that the Lord has done." They behold Jesus. They make known what has been said to them. And then verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So they see it. They make it known, and they return glorifying and praising God. And that's the hope of Christmas. This is what makes Christmas worth commemorating and celebrating. In our dark night of sorrow and fear and shame, the Prince of Peace will come and will bring us hope. Just a few minutes ago, as we sang Hark the Herald Angels Sing, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. If Christmas, the birth of Christ, is that first little glimmer of a sunrise, if Christmas is the softening of the sky after a long night of darkness, then the cross is the blazing sun at its full noon strength. The cross is when we see God in full daylight. We love the dawn because it holds promise of a full day. And we love Christmas because it holds the promise of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The Prince has come to make peace between sinful humanity and a righteous, holy, good God. Christmas is good news of great joy because it is the birth of Christ the Lord, who has come to save us from our sin. Just as the light, just as the dawn of light on that dark night brought joy to the shepherds, the good news of Christmas is meant to bring us peace in our darkness. This was the experience of the well-known poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Longfellow lived during the time of the Civil War, and he experienced the dark night of the soul. His wife was killed in a house fire, and in that fire, he himself was badly burned. And then just 2 years later, just days before Christmas in 1863, during the height of the Civil War, he got news that his oldest son, Charles, had been badly wounded in battle and was in grave danger. And so, as you can imagine, when Christmas Day rolled around, Longfellow was having a hard time being cheerful. He was having a hard time finding peace. We read in his Christmas carol, which we're going to sing after the sermon, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Verse 1, he says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought, verse 2, I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. So he hears the bells. It's Christmas. All around the world, people are celebrating Christmas, telling us peace on earth, goodwill to men, right out of Luke chapter 2. And how does he respond in verse 3? And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace is not my experience. Peace is not what I feel in my heart. But the bells don't stop ringing. In verse 4, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The bells kept ringing. The bells pealed more loud and deep, reminding Longfellow that Christmas is God's proclamation that he is not dead. He does not sleep. His promises will come to pass. The wrong shall fail. The right will prevail. And Christ's life, death, and resurrection guarantees once and for all peace on earth and goodwill to men. The birth of Christ is light triumphing over darkness. The birth of Christ is God's proclamation that weeping may last for the night, but joy will come with the morning. Joy has come because light has come. And so as it was for the shepherds, and as it was for Henry Longfellow, may it also be for us. Into the dark night of our sin, or failure, or loss, or pain, or fear, the light of Christ has dawned. We can be free to have peace when our health, our friendships, our marriages, our families, our finances, our communities are fragile or even when they break. We can be at peace in the midst of sickness and sorrow and disappointment and loss and chaos and uncertainty. Christmas doesn't have to go perfectly. You don't have to perform. Your family doesn't have to be healthy and happy. Christ has come. The day has dawned, and the Prince of Peace is on his throne. Let's pray. Father, a people who dwell in darkness, on them light has shone. We are lost in our sin. We are under the black cloud of sin and death, and Christ has come, risen with healing in his wings. And so, Father, would you help us to look to Jesus for light and life and hope and peace. In Christ we pray. Amen.